Uploading. Tsunami Black Hole Megamix 2K3, now.
The fate of the whole world is in my hands.
You foolish man. I am Ajito Ryo Master. Allow me to reunite you with your ancestors.
Network. I am, of course, your Prontom host, Thomas Prontom, that is. And on this week's episode, we are covering Tekken Blood Vengeance, the full CG 3D movie that came out in 2011. And, of course, rejoining me again this week, we had him on for the Street Fighter 2 review, is the great Richie Bridge. And how you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
It's good to hear you. You know, this week's episode, shall we say, has been a tough one already. And we're not even 2 minutes in. Oh, these are the episodes that usually give you blooper reels, so we'll see if we have enough content for that.
Think we'll be all right, man.
Yep. So, but yeah, like I said, Tekken Blood Vengeance, you know, I've been a fan for the Tekken franchise for a long, long time. When was the first time you got to play Tekken?
It was Tekken 3, man, and it was great. And then I think when I was in high school, Tekken Tag 1 had just came out, and they had it at the movie theater. It was like a little local legend because I went through, I think we were waiting to see a movie, and had like an hour before the movie started. That was the time when we used to go to the movies way before the movie started so we could play video games in the lobby and kick ass. I never got off the sticks, man. It was like just killing. There was a line of people trying to beat me in Tekken Tag, and, you know, I was good, man. Local legend, Richie Branson. Look it up, San Antonio.
Oh, yeah, I remember, you know, I remember playing that game. Of course, I had a PlayStation, so I remember playing Tekken 3 and Tekken Tag on the PS3. And it was one of those games that not only was the main game fun, but it had mini games that were fun. I can't tell you how many hours I spent playing Tekken Bowl.
Yeah, Tekken Bowl was the shit. Tekken Bowl was dope. You're not lying, man. Tekken Bowl was
really... You're basically playing a bowling game, but...
Yeah, it was literally like a real, like all the physics and everything. It was cool.
Yeah. And of course, you know, Tekken 4, which, you know, a lot of people don't like. I actually liked it. I liked some of the ideas of, you know, like inclining battle stages and stuff like that. But then we had Tekken 5. And, of course, Tekken 6. And this movie supposedly takes place in between Tekken 5 and Tekken 6. So it's like a little story in between. But we're going to get right into that because we have no emails or any comments to talk about. So we're just going to get right into cast and synopsis. Cast, starring Carrie Karin as Ling Xiaolu, Christina Valzuza, listed as Christina V, as Alyssa Botstanovis, David Vincent as Shin Kamiya, Darren Daniels as Jean Kazama / Devil Jean. Kyle Abair as Kazuya Mishima / Devil Kazuya. And or remind me to tell you my Kyle Abair story later.
Alright.
That regards one of your raps.
Oh, wow.
Mary Elizabeth McGinn, listed as Charlotte Bell, voices Nina Williams and the Mokajin. Tara Platt voices Anna Williams. Takatora voices Panda. Kajin Tang voices Lee Shaolan. Paul St. Peter, listed as George C. Cole, voices Gangria. And Jameson Pierce, listed as Taylor Henry, voices Heihachi Mishima. The plot, which once again is an alternate storyline that takes place between the events of Tekken 5 and Tekken 6, begins with Anna Williams setting up a decoy for her sister, Nina Williams, who is currently working for the new head of the Mishima Zaibutsu, Jean Kazama. Anna, on the other hand, works for Jean's father, Kazuya Mishima, at its rival organization, G Corporation. Both are seeking information about a student named Shin Kamiya, and Anna dispatches a Chinese student named Lin Zhaoyu to act as a spy, while Jean sends a humanoid robot named Alyssa Botsanovich for similar purposes. During the investigations, Zhaoyu and Alyssa form a friendship and end up working together as Shin is kidnapped by unknown assailants and try to find out just who Shin is. This is Tekken Blood Vengeance. And with that, let's get into our review of Tekken Blood Vengeance.
Yeah. Tekken Tag 2. Welcome to the second Tekken Tag Tournament. Better go hard or go home in a tourniquet. Assassinating every track like Nina when she's murdering. Spitting fire similar to Ogre when I'm burning them. My team is undefeated, body bagging more foes. Every day when I play, I'm tagging like Mortos. I'm spinning delivery, Yoshimitsu sword blows. Tag, now I'm tripping them with kicks from Eddie Gordo. I'm dominating teams with a devilish demeanor, similar to Kazuya Mishima, I'm the meanest. The way I'm styling on them, they don't wanna see it. Kicks got them flying higher than the hair on Paul Phoenix. And every time I'm in the game, I'm getting faster. Combos got them staggering like Lay the Drunken Master. When I'm Kuminitsu, I'm a beast with them daggers that make these haters disappear, and I ain't talking magic. I'm wreaking havoc on my quest to live larger. Hit them with that spinning uppercut from Jin Kazama. And I don't want no drama when I bring that raw pain. When I switch lanes and start bringing them kicks with War Rain. Dealing heavy-handed damage like Heihachi. When I'm on top of my game, no team can never stop me. Especially if I'm playing that father-son posse. So when you think you got me, I'm tagging in Jinpachi. Yeah, somebody let them know I'm so raw. When I hit them with a flurry of blows from Forest Law. Every day I'm winning, that's my protocol. I'm on a mission to win the Iron Fist, yeah, I told them all. I'm an originator like Prototype Jack. Haters denying I'm the greatest, I tell them check the stats. Every day I'm going in, I'm never stepping back. Representing with an Iron Fist, this is Tekken Tag.
And welcome back, and let's get right into a review, and as we always do, we start off with music. So let's talk about the opening sort of closing themes of Blood Vengeance. What did you think of the themes?
I thought the opening theme, it really was fitting to the usual Tekken CG intro sequences, that kind of techno, just fast-paced, you know, electronic type of music. Very classic Namco sound to it as far as, you know, the intro CG sequences. You know, so I liked the music in the beginning. The ending music was, like, decidedly more epic. It's like as the movie progressed, the music started to get more orchestral, especially, you know, the last battle between Heihachi, Jin, and Kazuya. It was, like, a lot of orchestra music, and it was really dope. So the music, I give an A+ to, you know, especially the intro and opening.
That actually changed my idea because I was kind of not impressed by it, but you did just remind me it is very sort of Tekken-like for it to be sort of that techno, them right, oddly riding down the street. And now that I think about it, if you look at every sort of movie intro to a game for Tekken, it always involves somebody riding a car or a bike or something down the
Absolutely.
street.
Yeah. So it was like really, I was like, is this the intro to another Tekken game?
So it definitely is something to, again, that could go to fan service, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, but you're completely right. And so in that sense, yeah, I do enjoy it on that sort of standpoint of being sort of a fan service intro music that would be usually seen in Tekken. The ending theme, though, I still love better. I just love the power that comes from that theme. There's just a lot of power and epicness
Oh yeah, for
within
sure.
that theme, especially when you hear the chorus. And they're going, and they're sort of the spiritual chanting that you hear in the background, not like, anything you can make out, but just sort of vocals. And so I love that. I think it ma especially during the fight and during the ending theme, it matches. But yeah, I do love the good mix of melodies. Moving on to the overall score, I thought it was done extremely well, and I love the different themes that they had. When they needed to be funny, they had a funny theme, especially like sort of the funny, or should say fun theme they had for Lin Zhaoyu, especially when she was riding her panda.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not gonna lie, Panda's my favorite character in this
Yeah, the panda was
movie.
cool, man. It almost like
So,
had that comic relief aspect to it, you know?
yeah, it most definitely did. But yeah, and I love that theme. And in general, I love the themes during the fights as well. The one between Alyssa and Lin, and of course the one. Oddly enough, for a movie about a fighting game, there was really only, well,
Like three fights, maybe.
yeah, three fights. There was the one at the beginning between Nina and Anna, which was really short. There was one between Lin and Alyssa, and then there was a final one at the end, though it had multiple stages to it, which made up for the lack of
Yeah,
fights.
it did.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I thought the score was done really, really well. Besides the opening and ending theme, what else did you think of the overall score?
I thought it fit, like I said, I especially love the music that was playing during the last battle. Like it just like really fit the amount of epicness going on, at that moment. Like you mentioned the multiple stages. It seemed like at first, the music was like, when you see Heihachi, Jin, and Kazuya all meeting up, it was like, the music built up as each character was introduced because they kind of went in order. Like you had Jean first, then you had Kazuya shows up, and the next thing you hear that laugh, and you're like, uh-oh. And then the music kind of matched that, as they introduced Heihachi and he talked about his overall plan and whatnot.
Yeah. So, with that, let's move on to animation and let's talk about the overall style of Tekken Blood Vengeance. Again, this being one of the few times I've actually reviewed a CG movie, but even with that, it still has its own style. It's not, because not all CG is the same. This definitely has sort of that Tekken sort of CG style to it.
Yeah, it actually looked like when I first saw it, I was like, man, this looks literally like just a whole full-length movie based on a Tekken CGI sequence, you know?
Yeah, and Tekken CGI really has always sort of been on that front line of sort of CG sort of movies in the late 90s, right alongside with Square Enix. As much as everybody points to Pixar and yeah, you had Toy Story, it was really Square Enix and Namco and a lot of the video game companies that were really on that front line of first using CGI and having sort of little small movies and vignettes. And this was just a very much longer version of that, and but obviously upgraded, a lot more detailed because of the use of current technology and everything. Made for 3D, there was a, as we'll get into when we talk about effects. But yeah, it was like, the shading and the way the characters were dressed, and all of it had that sort of Tekken feel to the animation.
Yeah, it's almost as if they purposefully made it to where it looked like it was just a more polished version of the actual in-game graphics.
Yeah. And most time people might say, well, isn't that a bad thing? Isn't that like they just took it from the game? But in a sense, that's sort of a, I think, would be, here it's more of a familiarity. So it's not so distant from the game. It's acknowledging the game, which is something I think this movie did right.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
And it also, let's move on.
Like, I like the style. You know, some of the scenes actually had an anime-type style, like when you have Ling and Panda, like, darting through the streets or darting
yeah.
through the forest, and you got Alyssa with the blasters. Like, that had a very anime-type of vibe to it, you know?
Yes, it did.
It was pretty cool. I like the style.
Let's move on to character designs. Let's start off with protagonists. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say I like the character design. Alyssa especially, because it was like literally straight out the game. Like I was playing Tekken Tag 2, and I was like, damn, she looks just like how she looked in Blood Vengeance, like to the T. It was pretty cool. Like they aced the character design, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, that's also what she looked like in Tekken 6 as well.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, the thing about it is with her design, you know, it's very, you know, you talked about it being very anime-like, you know, right there, she is very anime-like. She's almost to an extent like an anime sort of Lolita cosplayer.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Cosplay, very cosplay-friendly design.
Yeah. Just with all the different colors that are going on with her, you know, she has the pink hair. We have our pink-haired character. All the chibi fanboys should be happy. I like the choice for Lynn, you know, again, mostly in her school uniform, but also the, or I thought, I always found that the orange version of her outfit, which is more neon orange, was always sort of the best sort of color for her outfit, and it was that classic outfit that she had on, that, you know, if you remember from the classic Tekken, especially from Tekken 5 and Tekken 6, you know, that's the one she wears.
Yeah, indeed.
I would also, you know, there's really not much to say about Panda. He's a giant panda, just has, you know, arm bracelets. But I would throw Nina and Jean into here as well, as they're pretty much protagonists as well. And again, thank you for putting Nina in a latex bodysuit at the beginning of the film.
Oh, yeah.
Considering that in this film... You know, it's a funny story. They get to the scene where Shin's showering, and it's like, this wasn't, I'm watching this in the theater, and I turned to my friend who's female, and I'm like, you know, this wasn't the type of fan service I was expecting.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it was like...
No, it oh, go ahead.
Reverse fan service.
Well, it's not reverse, it's fan service for the girls, but it is a sort of reverse of, you've seen the Tekken anime movie, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's a sort of reverse, because in that movie they had a shower scene as well with Anna Williams.
Yeah.
So, which I always thought they were doing to copy Street Fighter.
Right.
It was really that obvious. But yeah, I love Nina's. You know, she had her classic sort of purple outfit on, along with that sort of biker suit that she had on at the beginning. You know, I always feel mixed on Gene's outfit. You know, and again, he has sort of a very mature presence about his character design. And I did like sort of the outfit he had on. I've just always loved that sort of jacket with the hoodie look.
Yeah.
That, you know, he first had in Tekken 4.
Yeah, it's like he's like now in the button-ups and the dress pants thing, you know?
Yeah. So I'm always mixed on that. I mean, he looks good in it, but I just prefer him being in the sort of jacket hoodie and those pants. But overall, good. What did you think of the other protagonists?
I thought all of them were good. I agree with the Ling. I like how they put the when she changed into her little fighting outfit when she fought Alyssa for the first time. I thought that was cool. I like how they, you know, they included the chainsaw arms and the head coming. I was waiting for the head to come off with Alyssa. I was like, all right, is the head going to come off? And it came off, and I was happy. So
it came off twice.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it came off a few times. And I was really just glad that they sort of kept, you know, obviously with the design and the style of the overall animation, you know, it all had that same flavor. Like, it was definitely Tekken. Like, even if you had never seen it before, you just know at first glance, this must be Tekken, you know, just by the overall, just the way they did it. So I approve. I give it an A.
And then you have the antagonist, and just like the protagonist, again, the antagonist character designs are done really well. You know, Heihachi had his sort of, you know, just classic design to him. Kazuya, again, also in button notes, but I like that now he's sort of, his face is sort of evolving. Now he has those two scars as opposed to just that one.
Yeah.
Anna Williams, again, is Anna Williams. And so I like that design. I mean, overall, it's all pretty much taken from the game, so I find it very good as well.
I agree. Yeah, it's pretty much faithful. Like, they didn't try to go, you know, out there or do anything revolutionary. And that's definitely a key to the formula of a successful video game based movie, you know, stick to the game.
Let's move on to fight animation, and this was really a strong point in this movie. And each fight built off of each other. I mean, you had the very short fight, then you had the medium fight, and then you had the long fight. And each one got that much better. You know, the short fight was good for what it is. The medium fight between Lin and Alyssa was done extremely well, even, and it was sort of breaking into two parts upon itself. The initial fight, and then, you know, breaking out the chainsaws and chasing her up the Pandora,
Yeah.
Pangadix. Yeah, excuse me. And then you had the final fight, which was just epic, and you could feel those punches.
Yeah, very. The fight animation was great. A1. I especially like from the jump I knew it was going to be great. Like when Nina and Anna were fighting and you had them both simultaneously kick the motorcycle helmet and shatter it or punch it or whatever they did, but they both hit the motorcycle helmet at the same time. I thought that was really cool. So it had like a really good fight, you know, I guess what they would call like coordination or yeah, it had really good fight coordination. Like the way they designed the fights were awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the fights had great flow, you know, especially that triple threat at the end, and just the fight, you know, the way each character moved, and it never felt like there was a stop in that sort of organic flow of the fight. You know, when punches landed, they landed, and you know, each character looked very skilled as a fighter, and you know, and just the way, especially when Jean finishes Heihachi. You know, it's that just series of blows, and you feel the power. And then you have that same sense when he defeats Kazuya in the Devil Forms, which, by the way, that is something else we didn't talk about in character design. So, real quick, what did you think of the new improved Devil Forms?
I thought they were pretty great. They were definitely intricate, you know, and you can see the difference between Jin and Kazuya. I like how Jin did this kind of Frieza evolution with his devil form. You know, like he started off kind of like big, bulky, and uncoordinated, and then when he was in the clouds, he came back down like more slimmed down and more, you know, efficient. So it really had like a Frieza type of vibe to me, how, you know, Frieza went from like this big, bulky, ornate thing and came like lower, you know, and started slimming down to this efficient killer. So I really like how they did Gene's devil design.
And I'm glad I was able to hold that sneeze till you were done. No, I actually, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, Freeze is actually, I think, because I was trying to think of who that would sort of match that sort of transformation of the first part being a raging beast and the second part being sort of efficient and just all powerful. But Freeze is a good, I just wouldn't use Freeze, I think, because he's more, but you know, I did love both. I love the fact that, again, you know, with Kazuya, his devil form, he has the bat wings. And again, since Jean's the good guy, he has more of the angel wings. And it's a bit white as well. It's not completely black. It's got a sort of grayish hue to the wings.
Yeah, it was a little different, you know, like it, you could tell who was the good guy devil. Both devils, you could tell which one was the good devil.
And then, of course, you had Hachi's Mokujin Which, again, just the funny way they added the Mokujins to the movie of being this giant monster. You know, that was just a sort of interesting giant monster design. But anything else on maybe that on or on the fight animation you have?
I think that's pretty much it. I also liked I really thought that the three-way fight was well done. I was curious to see how they were going to pull that off when all the characters were introduced and how, you know, you could see one person hitting one person then focusing on the other. It was really good how they did that. You know, three-way fights are really hard to very difficult to choreograph, and I think they did an excellent job on that.
Did you catch that for both when Gene defeated Heihachi the first time and when he defeated Kazuya in his devil form, they both basically fell into a ravine?
Yeah, and that's what I like, that theme of when you're defeating your elder and throwing him off a cliff or something.
I remember first time I watched it, I was like, what is it with the Mishimas and falling into ravines?
Yeah, that's just that's just their calling card right there. You know?
Well, I know it's their calling card, but it's like, I think you'd choose a better final battle.
Right.
Cause, you know, again, but that is fan service, as we'll get to. You know, their defeat, they fall, or supposedly fall. It's that classic comic, they fall to their death, or do they, only for them to appear in the next game.
Right, right, absolutely.
Yep. We have to talk about special effects and backgrounds, and part of the reason is this movie was made for 3D. In fact, I went to the 3D version of the movie in theaters, and so I can speak from that experience that the 3D is awesome in this movie. I mean, like you talked about the motorcycle helmet being crushed and broken, and yeah, that had its 3D effect. But the thing I like most about this is that most of the 3D effects in this film, it wasn't that jump-out sort of 3D effects, like, ooh, it's gimmicky. It's the type of where it's an environmental 3D effects.
Yeah, like
and
depth.
It's about... Oh, what was that?
Like depth in the environment and whatnot?
Depth in the environment and sort of bringing you into the environment in the city. You know, when it's rain, you know, the raindrops are 3D, and so it's sort of bringing you into... Oh, you're in an area where it's raining. So it was that depth. It was that sort of bringing you into the environment.
Yeah, I didn't see it in 3D, but I could definitely see where they went. I could see how it was made for 3D. Like, I remember the part where they shot up the bed and, like, the fragments of the bed were floating in the air. And I imagine that that was probably a 3D moment.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by, you know, it's little things like that was 3D. It wasn't gimmicky like, oh, we have a truck coming at the screen and it just jumps out the screen.
Yeah.
It was sort of, it was effect-based 3D. It was raindrops. It was feathers. It was the glass of the visor of the motorcycle helmet. It was wood bits.
Yeah.
It was all environmental. But besides it being 3D, the effects in this film, because there's a lot of things being crushed and... You know, things flying around was done extremely well.
Oh yeah, I agree. Definitely, even down to like the dust when they were riding Panda and he's leaving the dust trail. You know, I thought that was
fun. Yeah. And then of course the backgrounds were just gorgeous, and there were a lot of good locations. The multiple schools I thought were very interesting, the Polytechnic and the Kaito International School.
Yeah.
But the one I liked the most was, again, the final temple. Because that's just... You first see that, it screams, this is the final stage.
Yeah. And you know, like, just true to Tekken, especially Tekken Tag, you know, when you're breaking through multiple levels, like, that's very heavily influenced in that. You know, you got all the different levels of the stage. You're breaking through floors. You're breaking through walls. Like, awesome.
Well... Breaking through walls and sort of stages, Tekken has done that, but that's always been more of a Dead or Alive thing.
That's true, yeah. DOA pioneered that whole thing.
But, you know, but it definitely had an epic feel to it. But I'm just saying, like, just on background alone. And the other thing I like is at the end of the movie where the beast was down in the and he's in the background, you see his burnt remains of his body. It's actually in the form of the Japanese character for large.
Oh, wow.
That's actually something that I learned. Again, this is something I learned from the anime. Do you remember the anime Case Closed?
Yeah, I remember that.
There was an episode where they were in Kaito and a journalist got murdered, and the clues were in photos, and because they were at a like a like hill fire burning ceremony in Kaito. I don't know if you remember that episode.
That one I do not.
Okay. Well, there's an episode, and base that's where I learned because they talked about, oh, well, here's the character for the Japanese character for large. And it was basically that same symbol. So
Okay, that's really
I
cool.
so I again sort of cultural impact there, cultural fan service. But I like that as part of the background, seeing the special effects there, the smoke and sort of the burning fire in the background of the forest, using the background and the special effects to its optimum, even towards the end of the film.
Yeah, they did that effect well, like, got thousands of Mojikens burning, and it looked like wood really would be burning like that, It was great.
Yeah. With that, we're going to take a quick break, play a couple promos, and when we come back, we're going to get into acting and story.
Hello, boys and girls. It's your dear old Uncle Joker. We've got an internet access here in Arkham, so I'm doing a little browsing. Lolcats, lolcats, porn, lolcats. What's this? Bailey's Batman Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast devoted to everything Dark Knight Detective. Well, Michael Bailey, where's Bailey's Joker Podcast, eh? We'll see about that. Harley, get our things. We're going to Georgia.
Hey everyone, Michael Bailey here asking you to check out my bi-weekly internet radio show, Bailey's Batman Podcast. Or at least I'm asking you to check it out while you still can, until the Joker shows up on my doorstep. Bailey's Batman Podcast is a hodgepodge type show where I discuss all aspects of the Dark Knight's history. Comics, movies, animation, even trading cards and action figures. Everything Batman related is fair game, and yes, that does include the villains, which includes the Joker. So he won't kill me. New episodes drop every other Tuesday over at www.baileysbatmanpodcast.com. The site also has links to the iTunes page, the RSS feed, my Twitter handle if you're into the social media thing, and the Bailey's Batman Podcast Facebook page. Bailey's Batman Podcast is a proud member of the Batman Podcast Connection, which you can find at batmanpodcastconnection.wordpress.com. I really hope that's the UPS guy. Why can't I have Batman in my basement?
I guess you weren't so tough after all, were you? Now it's time to send you to the next dimension.
291 original episodes.
This can't be! It's still going up!
325 manga chapters.
You act innocent, but you're deadly.
Time to die!
Dozens of characters, hundreds of enemies, and a whole lot of violence.
That kind of violence is pointless!
You see, Super Saiyans tend to be a bit violent.
Oh, crap!
Join hosts Donovan and Jesse as they cover the arrival of the Saiyans, the journey to Namek, the battle with Frieza, the mystery of the androids, and the terror of Majin Buu. The Next Dimension, a Dragon Ball Z podcast. Join the fight at dbznextdimension.libsyn.com.
See ya.
Gathered together from the far reaches of the internet are assembled a network of podcasts dedicated to the first and greatest superhero, Superman. The Superman Podcast Network is dedicated to covering all aspects of the Superman legend, featuring
The Thrilling Adventures of Superman,
Golden Age Superman,
The Superman Fan Podcast,
Superman in the Bronze Age,
From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast,
The New 52 Adventures of Superman.
I've got a few things to say about Superman.
The Carousel Podcast,
The Superman Vidcast,
The World's Best Podcast,
and Radio Kale from SupermanHomepage.com.
Join hosts
Michael Bradley,
John Wilson,
Billy Hogan,
Charlie Niemeyer,
J. David Weeder,
Jeffrey Taylor,
Michael Bailey,
Scott Gardner,
Danny Sapp,
Cayman Stoll,
I'm Isaac,
I'm Adam,
Dave Eunice, and co-host Scotty V.
at SupermanPodcastNetwork.com.
And welcome back, and let's get right back into it with acting. So what did you think of acting overall?
I thought it was good. One thing that struck me was the maturity in Gene's voice. That I wasn't expecting. But probably because, you know, I'm so used to just playing the games and whatnot, and I'm thinking Gene is like the young, you know, stereotypical young male protagonist in anime and video game movies usually have that kind of, yeah, voice, and to hear like a mature, like, I'm going to kick ass voice was totally not expected, but definitely great. I like that. So Kyle Ebert did a great job on that.
Actually, Kyle was...
Oh, he was Kazuya. Damn it. The other guy. Sorry, Kyle, but you did great too, man.
That was Darren Daniels.
Yeah, it was to the point where Kazuya almost sounded younger than Jin, like with his voice. Like he had like a not as deep voice as Jin. I thought that was interesting.
Well, I thought it was a perfect compliment because, you know, Kyle, you know, if you look at Kazuya's character, he's always sort of been this person who's, he's not, I don't want to say fully grown up, but it was almost sort of that evil, so he's not as mature.
Yeah.
So that's why the voice wouldn't be as mature. Whereas with Gene, he's always been this mature individual, a lot of that coming from his mother, which, again, not really covered in this movie, but for those who know Tekken history, his mother is June Kazama, who basically had a one-night stand with his dad. Of course, June is the aunt to June Kazama and Asuka Kazama, excuse me, in the Tekken series. Which is something I wish they would talk about more in the game series.
June Kazama kicks so much ass in Tekken Tag 2, man. Like, I played it on very hard. Damn it, when she would juggle the shit out of you, man. Like, I saw it.
That is a juggling character. And yeah. Asuka was and I always saw Asuka as being brought in to basically replace that fighting style.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, you know, when you see a lot, you know, that's what they are. Gene is Asuka's cousin. Yeah, and I wish they would bring that up more, at least in the game story. But that's really off topic. But yeah, I thought Darren Daniels did a terrific job with his voice. I thought both Carrie Corrine and Christina Valenzuela, who played Lynn and Alyssa, they really did a great job of carrying this movie.
Yeah.
It felt like the story was on those characters, and they did a great job of keeping the story on their characters, even though there was this much larger story going on between Gene and Kazuya and Heihachi, and they are, you know, with all due respect, can be more, or at least bigger characters. They were able to keep the focus on being interested in those characters.
Yeah, and you know what I thought was interesting, just down to the characters and, you know, whatnot, was exactly that. Like, how they had, you know, the acting was absolutely fantastic on all levels. Like, every character, there was no slacking on the acting at all.
Yeah. The other reason I bring it up, because, again, you have Gene, you have Kazuya, you have Heihachi, you have Nina, and you have Anna, who are all probably bigger characters as far as being superstars and being well-known outside of Tekken fandom. But I do like that they went with these two characters, and Lynn and Alyssa, who are sort of more fan favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're more fan favorites within the Tekken community, and so I thought the acting was done extremely well. Let's move along and talk about story, and let's talk about the overall plot. And once again, this is a typical sort of martial arts plot. But this is more of a sort of recent type of martial arts film where it's more about the mystery than it is, hey, let's have a lot of fight scenes.
Yeah. The story, it was serviceable to me. I mean, I wasn't just wow, pow to the story. I felt like, honestly, I wish, the only thing I wish they would have probably did different was develop the guy named Sheen, the Sheen guy, a little bit more, you know, because it's like, yeah, when he died, it was kind of like, meh, let's see the fight, you know?
I mean, that's understandable. And really, in that sense, the plot was just a palette for, you know, these characters being in a situation. It wasn't horrible. It's just, you know, again, it's sort of that more modern sort of martial arts film type of plot to where it's about, hey, we have this mystery, which is really the setting for all these fights to happen.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, like sort of the old school kung fu films and martial arts films are, you know, there's a, the fights are part of the start, you know, it's almost tournament style because the fights lead to something ultimately happening.
Yeah.
This is more about the mystery.
Yeah, you know, it was cool. It passes, you know, it doesn't get enough. You know, it wasn't definitely, it wasn't something that was like, wow, really? Oh, my God. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, fight.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
So, you know, like, you know, and it definitely, like, I agree with you. It was like more of a palette. Like, it seemed like it was just, you know, basically to get, you know, to the battle royale, you know, you solve the mystery and it's like, oh, okay, that, there it goes. Now let's see the fight, you know. Yeah.
It's almost as, really, I think the best way to put it is that it was, it allowed the build up to the fights. And I think that's part of the reason the fights, though, are that awesome. Because, yes, the fights are good, but you do have this story that's built around it. So there is these build ups to the fight.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just a new, it's a new different way of doing the martial arts film story.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's talk about the character development in this film. There was very little of it. Most of it centered around Lynn and Alyssa, and I very much enjoyed it. But, and this really goes through the overall plot too. One thing I didn't like with the plot was sort of that thrown in at the end, trying to, oh, humans are, you know, are ones that are the only way, violence will stop if humans decide not to do violence. And it's like, don't try to force him a lesson that they have.
That reach to that little theme. A robot brought us all together and taught us a lesson. Like,
no.
Yeah, I mean,
it was forced in.
Yeah, the character development overall, it was straight. Like I said, I just give the only criticism I give was to how they developed Sheen. It was kind of like, okay, you know, I would have loved to have felt more sympathy for him when Heihachi gave him that over-the-shoulder back break, but I didn't. It was just kind of like, oh. And I thought Ling's reaction to it was a little over-the-top. Like, she's like, no, like, you don't know that guy, you know?
Well, not that as much.
Yeah, you know, like.
I do like that, you know, her trying to help Alyssa understand why she's doing anything, you know, and trying to help Alyssa with her feelings for Shin, she's very subtly bringing up her feelings for Gene.
Yeah.
Which, again, and that goes to fan service as well, but I like that. Again, using the continuity.
Definitely.
All in all, I think the character actually that had the best character development was Panda.
Yeah, Panda was alright, man. Like, Panda was that dude, man. Like, when he, you know, he was trying to mimic the super fist move.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. Panda was...
But that, well, let's move on to, I think, what really, really, you know, it is a weak story, but ultimately what still makes the story enjoyable and good and fun is the fan service of the film and the comedy of the film. And let's get into that conversation. That's going to take a while because there was tons of fan service and there was tons of comedy in this film.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We're talking about Panda. Panda was definitely – we talked about Alyssa's head coming off. That scene in the theater got a huge laugh when Lynn jumps in Lee's hotel and Liz is just standing there, or sitting there with her head
off, yeah.
That got the hugest laugh in the movie theater. People just laughed at that and loved it. And I'm going back from my experience, but you had that. You have sort of the – really, this was also – another way to put the plot is this was also, to an extent, a buddy cop comedy.
Yeah, with Ling and Alyssa, definitely.
Yeah. It was really a buddy cop comedy, so you had all that typical type of comedy there, the sort of the misunderstanding points, and all of it was very good, and it did make you enjoy the characters. But again, all the different fan service, you know, and the little acknowledgments, you know, not just having, you know, characters like Gang Ru, who's a teacher at Mishima Pyrotechnic, you know, Anna and Nina, and you have Panda. There was, you had Lee there, who is sort of comedic relief.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think of what... I know they referenced other characters. I know Lee, the policeman, was referenced because you saw his picture on Lynn's phone.
Yeah. Good old drunken Master Lee. Lair. However you say it.
And it was just. I mean, what did you think of the fan service? I mean, because there was tons of fan service that referenced, you know, different things of the Tekken franchise.
Oh yeah, it was mostly, to me though, it seemed to be more geared towards the latter, you know, the more recent Tekken games. I personally would have just, it would have been nice, and I mean, maybe it didn't need. I guess it didn't need it per se. Like, there was enough fan service. And I think it was more of them, I think, trying to say, okay, this is Tekken now. You know, we don't need to go back and put those retro characters and give them cameos. But it would have been nice to have seen, like, an Eddie Gordo as my dude, or Warren, you know, some of the more, you know.
Or King, or.
Yeah, King would have been awesome.
Okay. Maybe them, like, just meeting at a wrestling match, and there's King and Fred. I'm blanking on his last name.
Oh,
the guy.
I know who you're talking about. Tip of the tongue.
The guy who's based off Nathan Jones, if you know Tekken history.
Yeah.
Nathan Jones. He was a former prisoner. He was in prison in Australia for murder. He served his sentence. Became a wrestler. He was actually in the WWE.
Oh wow.
So, and that's who that character is based off of. So yeah,
or a Jack maybe, you know. I
Jack.
One thing
Paul.
I did envision was when they Nina busted into the mansion and you see that stare down between Anna and Nina. I wish those robots would have been Jacks.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
That was, oh shit, but, Jacks. Yeah, but overall, but, you know, yeah. It was good fan service.
Yeah, and like we talked about before, you know, the opening scene, the way the music was, and just riding down the road. And, of course, just, you know, themes from the franchise being continued. You know, the fighting family, the Mishimas meeting their end by falling down a ravine. All of this stuff is just makes it feel Tekken.
Yeah.
So
that it definitely had.
Yeah. So I think the last point is, let's talk about ultimately what makes this a bad or good adaptation of a video game franchise. I'll let you go first.
For sure, the one thing, the few things, or the things I should say, because it did a lot right. Obviously, the visual style, it remained true to the franchise. You know, like we were talking about Street Fighter, not the animated movie, but the movie. One mistake that it made was the characters looked nothing like, you know, whether it was the costumes or anything. You know, for the part, they look totally different from their video game counterparts. Whereas in Tekken, they look like the video game characters. So that was a plus. The visual style and the continuity of the story also were good factors as well. Like, if you're making a movie about a video game, you want to make sure the story is somewhat in the continuity of the series. You know what I mean? You don't want to stray too far out and try to do something that's completely not relevant to the story of the game. So
yeah,
definitely did a lot right there, but the visual style gets the highest marks for me. Like, it looked like you were watching a Tekken game, basically, but just higher res, more detail, and I loved it.
Ultimately, I feel it's a good adaptation. It really is a great adaptation in my mind because, again, it had, just as you said, off visuals, and just overall, it had that Tekken feel. Is the story something left to be desired? Very much so. I feel there are stories within the Tekken game franchise that were a lot more deeper in story. But at the end of the day, it's obvious that the story was supposed to be a palette, not just to build up the fights, but also they wanted a very simple sort of buddy cop type of story, because this is not just for the fans. They wanted something that was for the fans, but that could also bring people into the franchise as well. And I think it accomplishes both those, or at least accomplishes it on both fronts. So to me, it's a great adaptation of a video game franchise. It's everything you need in a video game adaptation or movie adaptation of a video game. It's certainly better than the, or at least from what I hear, of the Tekken movie that was recently made.
Yeah, I heard the movie was trash. I haven't seen it.
As is the King of the Fighter movie was trash. As the most recent Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li was.
Oh, God, that movie was... that movie deserves to burn in hell, man. What the hell?
I'll tell you this about... I think I told you this before about the King of the Fighter movie. I'm sorry. I respect women. Women can be all shapes and sizes. But if you're going to have a female actress, be my Shirai from King of the Fighters.
Boobies.
She better have big boobs. I'm sorry. That's the character. I don't care if she's not in her sexy little ninja dress, though I would love to see her in that. She just needs to have boobs. I mean, hell, I don't care if you put two little green things on her and CGI them.
Yeah. Figure it out, right?
Yeah. So take the hint from Street Fighter 2. Take the hint from this movie. That's how you do it. So, overall rating, what would you give this film?
I give it a B+.
Okay.
B+.
I would give it an A. I think I liked it a bit more than you. I find the story, I think, a bit more palatable because I understand where it's going, and I enjoy it a little bit more. For those reasons, I rated it a little bit higher. But, yeah, A for me, I guess, would be... 4.5 out of 5.
I think I give it a B+ because I just compare it too much to Street. Because Street Fighter, the animated movie, pisses excellence. Like, it wakes up in the morning and just pisses excellence when it comes to video game adaptations. So, like, I hold it to that standard. But I would say as a Tekken fan, it's definitely – it would be like an A for sure. Yeah. As just a general moviegoer, like, outside of the Tekken fandom, I would probably say B+.
Yeah. And so I would say maybe a 4 out of 5 for you, 4.5 out of 5 from me. So that is our review of Tekken Blood Vengeance. Richie, thank you for coming on the past 2 weeks. I know the past week has been difficult scheduling, so I thank you for coming on.
We got it done, of course.
And of course, you'll be hearing Richie. You heard Richie's song Iron Fist at the beginning of the review, which such an awesome song. I'm trying to find a way to get it onto my PS3 right now so I can base, because I don't know if you know it, but in Tekken Blood Vengeance, you can actually choose what music you have for each stage.
Tekken tunes, baby, yep.
Yep, I want to have that all for the music for every stage.
I had a few people change it out for the music on Snoop Dogg stage, you know.
Oh, I can't wait to do that. And don't get me wrong. I love the music that's in Snoop Dogg stage. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Oh, yeah.
But that is definitely a Tekken tune. But, yeah. So, want to let people know where they can find you?
Sure. Once again, you can find me at RichieBranson.com. I'm running for president. Richie2020, baby. Let's get it. You know, vote for me if you want giant robots in our armed forces. That's all I got to say about that. YouTube Richie Branson, Facebook Richie Branson, Twitter Richie Branson, and Google Richie Branson. I just launched my own Wikipedia where you can add lyrics and edit things, and just it's got a lot of song lyrics on there. It's richiepedia.org, so if you want to get the lyrics to my latest music, go there. It's dope.
Definitely. And remember, you can find our show in multiple places, or contact the show in multiple places as well. You can send us fan mail, email, or anything you want at absolution132@yahoo.com. That's our email address. That's absolution132@yahoo.com. You can also find us on Facebook by going on to Facebook and searching for the Absolution Network. Like us and leave us a comment there. And you can always leave us a comment on our website, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. Also, while you're there, remember to check out all the other 132 production sites. This includes Mean Gene's new anime podcast that's going to be returning soon, Chris Stanton's Random Redbox Reviews that you can find at www.randomredboxreviews.com. Of course, my Tokyo SOS podcast, which you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And, of course, my Comic Book Crazy podcast, which just had a new episode of Comic Book Crazy go up as of this recording, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And while you're there, remember to check out all our friends, which includes Michael Bailey's Views from the Long Box, his Bailey's Batman podcast, and From Crisis to Crisis that he does with our good friend Jeffrey Taylor, Brad Douglas's Spider-Man Crawl Space, Steven Schleicher's Major Spoilers podcast, and of course Scott Gardner's Two True Freaks, along with many others, so check them out on the site. And that's it for this episode of Tom Prerogative. Next week, we go back to American comic books characters as we review an anime that's actually one of the very few, in fact, probably the only good Marvel animation movie I feel that's ever been done. That is Planet Hulk, sir.
Okay, I might have to watch that, man.
Well, you can find it on Netflix if you guys want to watch it before the review, but next week, Planet Hulk. So, until next time, my Toonami generation, stay golden.
A cursed samurai. You have succeeded again in eluding my effort, but I am not worried, for one day you will fail.
DJ Clark Nova, don't sleep on it.